It's all about it. We see, as it were, all of the various things. Get more money, have a bigger house, get a better mortgage. Don't worry about paying back your credit cards. Just call our number. It's all about you, have, get. That's the world. And it's crying all day long. And that's the best the devil's got. But when King Jesus is on the spot, every one of us is going to have our own vine. We're all going to have our own land. We're all going to have our own place. And we're going to have access to God. And we're going to be in a chronic state of bliss. We're going to be healed of all of the infirmities of this wicked world that is broken and twisted from the antediluvian state to the present day. He's going to restore the longevity they enjoyed before the flood. And we're going to see a different world. Do not buy the bill of goods that the devil tries to sell you. This is the best there is. I know some young people. I remember when I was a kid and they had that energy crisis. And there were lines, you know, about gasoline. Oh, the race rationing gas. Many of you remember that. As a kid, I used to think, man, is there going to be any gas when I get there? My mind was like, I want to drive a car. And young people today say, man, I don't know what I'd do without a car. Well, we've talked about that. Jesus could appear in a room without opening the door. We as glorified saints are going to have capabilities you can't even imagine. The Bible says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love Him. And I'll tell you what, He's already thought of some pretty cool stuff. Don't you love the beautiful moon we've had the past few days? It just takes your breath away. But if you live in the city, you don't see the moon, you see a building. In fact, if you live in a town where they got a lot of streetlights, it's hard to see the moon. But God does a majestic artwork on the canvas. The Bible says, day unto day they utter their speech. There is no language in which their voice is not heard. God is the creator of it all. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Isn't it exciting what we have to look forward to, folks? Get on board because King Jesus is coming. He's called it. He called the end from the beginning. And the Bible says in verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And He let them do it. He knew they were doing it. And you know what? He wasn't even breaking a sweat. In fact, He was probably excited. Because once we get this plate clean, there will be no more of this. Once we turn this plate over, get rid of all the riffraff that have proven without question that left to man's own ends, he would choose wrong every time. That's what dispensations were about. In the garden, it was one choice, just one, and they blew it. You have multitudes and you blow it every day in little ways. You know you do, and we all do. We all do, folks. And God has delivered us from the wrath to come. The Bible says that He was manifested to destroy, make null and void the works of the devil. He has nothing on us. We are dead to sin. Chapter 6 of Romans tells us that. The Bible says in verse 9, He does say, that they, when they came against the beloved city, that fire came down from God out of heaven. You'll see that in chapter 38 in Ezekiel and verse 20, I believe it is. Fire rained down and hail and fire and so forth. God's going to wipe them out in a moment. And then as you look at the end of it, it says, and devoured them. Verse 10 says, and the devil, which deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And the word brimstone is the word theos. Very close cousin to theos. What it means is, not brimstone or sulfur as some put it. The word literally means flashing. Which is why people get the word sulfur and brimstone from it. But the word is a close cousin and derived from the word God. In other words, God's glory is going to be seen and set forth for eternity in the fact that He dealt decisively with people who rejected His Son, rejected His Word, rejected the evidence. It is forever. And God will be glorified in that. When I said God is a man of war, just remember, He is not a milquetoast God. He is not a Santa Claus God. He is a holy God. And because we live in America, and our parents are soft, and our laws are soft, and our government is soft, and everybody's soft, and it doesn't matter whether you molest children, you get off in a few years, doesn't matter whether you kill people, you get out of prison before you're dead, you get away with it. It doesn't matter. You think God's that way. And we can't let the world press us into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world, poured into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is holy. He takes your sin and mine seriously. We need a little dose of fear. God, you know, my problem here is I'm coming to this passage and I'm thinking, I just need to be real quiet. And that's hard for me when I get lit up about this stuff. I'm so full. I'm just so excited about what I'm finding out and discovering in my own life. But I just want you to know, that hell is the end of everyone who does not trust Jesus. Can I just let that truth seep in? That's it. And God doesn't make apologies. He says, this is what's going to happen. He didn't hide it under a secret place where nobody could find it. He said it over and over again. Oh, it's going to happen. And in this passage, the Bible says the devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. If you look at are, it's italicized. But it is there because it says in the following part of that verse, it says, and shall be tormented. That is a third person plural. They shall be tormented, it could be translated, forever and ever. The devil and all the lost. The lost aren't there yet. They're still over in Hades, which we're going to talk about next. Verse 11. And this here is the review of the wicked. Now folks, if there's one thread of hope in the heart of a lost person at this stage in the game, it's very, very slim. But there is the fact that some are going to be judged more severely than others. The Bible says of the Pharisees that they will receive the greater damnation, the greater judgment. They're going deeper. The Bible says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. But the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, it says, and the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. He's going to judge the world. That's Jesus on that throne, and He is going to judge. The Bible goes on in chapter 25, and He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to tell the goats to go into everlasting destruction. The Bible says in verse 11, it says that the heavens and the earth fled away. This right here is what 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 12 talk about, when the elements will dissolve with a fervent heat. It's done. And the reason we believe that is because verse 1 of chapter 21, look what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. When He shows up with the intent to actually judge these that were dead and kept in the holding place of Hades, He will be showing all of His blazing glory at that time. Redeemed man, saints of God, transformed saints with a new body, the mortality having put on immortality, the corruptible putting on incorruption, He shows up. What happens? The earth flees away and is dissolved. Fervent heat. Write it down in your notes if you want. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 12. The Bible says here that they fled away. There was no place found for them anymore. Verse 10 said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. He's going to bring them all in the room and He's going to stand them there. They're going to look God square in the face. I remember to this day as a little kid when my dad got right up in my face. You know, that makes an impression. When you get dad mad enough to get right in your face, you're shaking in your shoes, you know. Well, that is nothing compared to what this is. Kids are not afraid of their parents anymore. The Bible talks about the problem with Israel just before they were carried away into judgment. Their children were their rulers. Their children were their rulers. They did what their kids wanted to do. Verse 12 says, the dead, small and great, stood before God. The books were opened in another book. Plural books, and then there's the book. There's the plural books. The books are opened, and that refers to their works. The Bible says the second book, which is singular, is the book of life. What's it doing there? It's there to show them there was plenty of room. There was plenty of room. And they're going to make one last search, because this is serious stuff. Let's make sure His name doesn't appear, Lord. Cast Him into outer darkness. There will be pain and gnashing of teeth. Forever, folks, forever. And there's no reason for it. Except that we're bent. And we won't acknowledge that the flesh and the devil have got a hold on us. We won't acknowledge that the world is twisted by the prince of the power of the air. We won't acknowledge that we are up against something we could never overcome without the grace of God. We won't bow the knee and say, God, I'm so weak, I don't have anything. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs and theirs alone is the kingdom of heaven. You can't come to God thinking you're all competent, because we just got to recognize we aren't. The Bible says in verse 12, they were judged out of the things therein according to their works. Now the judgment is not whether they're saved or not. This is not a saving thing. This is the antithesis of the judgment seat of Christ, which is given to us an account of in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We as believers must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to pass through a fire. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to be wiped out, but the good things, the gold, silver, and precious stones, He said, those are our building materials. He says the good things are going to abide, and the bad things are going to be burned up, and some people will be saved, yet so as by fire, because they just did next to nothing. That's on us, okay? We get our minds on this. We get our eyes in our head. We begin to see Jesus as God and coming again, and we're getting older, and yeah, okay, I'm getting it. We got to get our game on here. We got to get in the game. We got to realize God wants people saved. He didn't want any. God says, but I'm not willing that any should perish. And yet they're going to. And even under a perfect kingdom, they're going to raise up against Him, and they're going to come as the sand of the sea. It's that we're just broken. We got to do everything we can to witness to them and to be credible witnesses. Adorning the gospel of Christ. Everything we do matters because people are looking for a reason not to believe. And woe be unto us if we give them a reason not to believe. We don't want that on our consciences. The Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in them. Dead, death and hell. Remember hell, Hades here? That's that holding place, reference in 16 of Luke. Rich man, being in torments, looked across a great gulf, and he saw Lazarus sitting in paradise, Abraham's bosom. Jesus said, this day, to the thief on the cross next to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Ephesians tells us that when he ascended, he led captivity captive. He took paradise into heaven. So paradise is now in the presence of God, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He's up there, they're up there. Anybody who dies now gets to go right in. But before Jesus died, they had to go to a holding tank until the time came when the atonement was made. Because Jesus needed to have the option to say a no. And Peter tried to defend him, and he said, listen, put your sword away, Peter. I could call my father right now, and he'd send 12 legions of angels and deliver me. He could have bailed in any moment, but he loved you so much, he said, I'm going in. I'm going to tread out the winepress alone. No man will stand with me. They're all fleeing. My vestures now are dipped in blood as he comes back. We saw all that. It's good stuff, folks. Verse 13 says the sea gave up. Because some people thought, man, you go out there in the sea and you bury them there and you never find them. Nah, it don't work that way. God knows where every molecule is. And really it isn't about the molecule. It's about your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his own soul? The Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Again, in verse 13, judged according to their works. Depth of hell. You know what? You'll find over and over in the Old Testament, Edom especially comes into my mind because they were the older brother of Jacob. And the Bible says that when Obadiah wrote in his Minor Prophets, he wrote a book that was all about Edom. And Edom was the older brother. And Edom mocked and laughed when Jacob was being judged and carried away. And God says, I'm not going to let that go. Now, folks, there are people today who think it's funny when Christians get a raw deal. They laugh and mock at Christians. They don't like Christians. In fact, in our government, we're being profiled today because the wave is turning. If you believe in the book, and you believe in freedom, and you believe in the Constitution, and you believe in God, you're a potential terrorist. That's the world we're living in, folks. This is the last bastion. This is the last island. And the Bible says that when you're going to be judged one day, you better be a friend to the believer. Even if you're not a believer, it's a good thing to do good things for believers. A cup of cold water will not lose its reward if it's given because that person is a child of God. So some people who are going to do good works all their life and miss Jesus will be punished for eternity. And that will be fire and smoke and torment, but it won't be as deep as religious people who knew the truth. I'm telling you, folks, we live in a day where truth is truth, and it's not changing. God's word is forever settled in heaven. He said, my word will not pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away. And you and I need to have a mind around who's lost and who's saved, because if you don't conclude somebody's lost, you're not going to try to win them to Jesus. Verse 5 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast in the lake of fire. Do you know the lake of fire is mentioned 3 times in this verse? It's mentioned again, verse 8 of chapter 21. Fearful, unbelieving. You know why people don't come to Christ? Because they're fearful. They're afraid. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, that's pharmakia, drug users, enchantments and so forth, idolaters and all liars. But you know what I want you to do? Go back to look at verse 15 and underline the word whosoever. Because there's another whosoever I want to end with. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not have to perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a good place to end? King Jesus is coming. He's going to destroy this earth and this heaven, but He's going to reign here for 1,000 years just to show He could do it. Nobody's going to say, well, if only he would have... No, he's going to exhaust every option. Human government, conscience. He's going to deal with innocence. He gave us that in the garden. He's given us the law, and he's given us the priesthood, and he's given us the sacrificial system. He's given us a pattern of heaven. He's given us Jesus. He hung on a cross. And many of us say, I don't know much about all that stuff, even though we're living in the day of grace. But the Bible says in that day, he's going to come. And when he comes, it's going to reign 1,000 years. You and I are going to get to rule and reign with him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. But the tribulation saints are going to be rulers too. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just where you are, I want to give you a chance to reflect on what we've heard.